Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you praise and thank you for today again. Just ask you to anoint this word to us, Lord God. Use me as your vessel and pour out, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything that you do so much for. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Holler when you're there. Haven't heard any amens or anything?
Amen.
There? Okay, all right. Praise God. This is, you know, we've got to communicate with each other. Verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And on that day of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You will be complete. I'm sure all of us have run into some unexpected events when taking a road trip. I can remember a time when I was traveling on a long stretch of road where it seemed that the construction was endless. On it went with numerous slowdowns, detours, traffic stops along the way. Finally, I got a glimpse of smooth new pavement ahead of me. It was there that a sign caught my attention, and it said, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Saints, how many of us realize that my experience in that road under construction describes each of us as believers? Every one of us in this earthly life are under construction. Amen?
Amen.
You wondered why you might move differently sometimes than other times. You've been modified, you've been under construction, right? Okay. When we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we begin a lifelong process of spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit works in us to remove our selfishness, that's Philippians 2:4, to renew our thinking, that's Romans 12:2, and to develop qualities that reflect a Christ likeness. That's Colossians 3, verse 5 through 14. Paul described this process as a work of God. What we just read in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, who began that good work? God did, right? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, amen, and takes us with him. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So today I want to consider the subject of spiritual growth. And the title of my message is The Five Myths of Spiritual Growth. Amen? The Five Myths of Spiritual Growth. A myth is an imaginary or unverifiable belief. You believe it, but it may be imaginary, and it's certainly unverifiable. All of the points that I'll share with you are not true. They are false. And the reason why they are false, I will explain after each point. Amen? The first myth I'd like to share is that spiritual growth is automatic once you're born again. Spiritual growth is automatic once you're born again. Just because a person has been a Christian for a long time doesn't mean they're mature. It's not difficult to pick up Christian mannerisms and biblical terminology and look mature and yet not be mature at all. The same is true of people who sort of become Christians, but who've never fully surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power over their lives. I heard a story once about a teacher who applied for a job as a principal and didn't get the position. So he was lamenting to a friend and he said, "I don't understand it. After all, I have 20 years of experience." To which his friend replied, "Do you? Or do you have 1 year of experience 20 times?" For many people, their Christian experience became stuck right after salvation. They've never grown into the walk with God to experience Christian maturity. Too often, these folks believe that because they were saved 20 years ago, that they have 20 years of Christian experience. But the truth is, they can only point to that one experience of salvation over and over again. They are stuck in the same old habits: lack of self-control, wrong priorities, disregard for the word, and inability to conform to Christ's image. Why not evaluate yourself at the beginning of this new year? Are you a one-year Christian 20 times, or are you a 20-year-old Christian? We can all agree that human babies automatically grow up to be human adults. But just because you're born again doesn't mean you automatically grow into the image of Jesus. Being born again is not the end, but only the beginning of your spiritual journey. The new birth makes us part of the Christian family, while growing in God's grace is when we become part of Christianity. Amen? Let me repeat that. The new birth makes us part of the Christian family, while growing in God's grace is when we become part of Christianity. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And this is in the New Living Translation. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power." Verse 2, "Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." Verse 4, "And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry." Verse 6, "God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language." Verse 9, "Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and its wicked deeds." Verse 10, "In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you." Hallelujah. In this scripture, Paul clearly speaks to the fact that being born again is only the beginning. Only the beginning. It is the point at which you receive eternal life. There is so much change that needs to follow. There must be a transformation in our inner selves. Amen? Amen. The second myth is that spiritual growth is always obvious to us. Spiritual growth is always obvious to us. Frequently, we may feel less mature as we grow. That seems odd, doesn't it? Often from an outward perspective, God's work in us looks messy. When construction crews begin work on a large project, they will always make a big mess before the plans start to take shape. When we allow the Holy Spirit to begin a spiritual work in us, it can become messy. Because the closer you and I get to God, the more our sins and failures and weaknesses become exposed. Many good Christians feel like they're going backwards in their holy walk, simply because the Holy Spirit must first expose their inner sin nature in order to eliminate it. I was talking with someone the other day who had been in a stressful situation, and she made this comment. I used to think I was a good Christian, but since I became involved in this situation, a lot of impatience and anger has surfaced. I now feel like I'm not really a very good Christian. Let me ask you a question. Is she really going backwards? No. This lady didn't realize those spiritual undercurrents were there. But even though she may feel badly over what was exposed, she's actually maturing more because she's making progress in the area of sanctification and personal devotion. Those hidden things have been brought to the light so that this lady could address those issues. Isaiah had been a prophet of God for years, but when he actually came in direct contact with God Almighty, in Isaiah chapter 6, he suddenly realized how sinful he really was. It's important that we recognize our sin. So be encouraged when that sin is exposed to the light. Your life, my life, may be a mess. But just because we are not changing as radically as we may have anticipated doesn't mean we are not in the will of God and growing according to his plan. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den. Joseph was betrayed by Potiphar's wife. Elijah had to ask a starving widow for aid. Paul and Silas were beaten at Philippi. The examples go on in the Word of God. What do they all have in common? All of these men of faith were growing in grace, but you just couldn't tell it from the outside circumstances. So if your life doesn't look promising at the moment, don't let the enemy tell you that you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
Or God's favor.
Amen, amen.
The third myth is that spiritual growth is stunted because of problems or adversity. It is unreasonable to think that becoming a Christian should somehow offer us a problem-free life.
True.
On the contrary, the problems and difficulties Christians face are important opportunities for growth. There's no triumph without a trial.
True.
You can't be an overcomer without something to overcome.
True. True.
You can't give a testimony without a test.
Amen.
Let me say all that again. There's no triumph without a trial.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You can't be an overcomer without something to overcome. And you can't give a testimony without a test. However, the presence of problems often makes us feel as if God doesn't care. He just doesn't want to help. And a dark cloud seems to loom over us. But listen to this following scripture in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
God actually intends for our trials and tests to have a positive outcome, a perfecting of our faith, so our trials are working for us, growing us into mature Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Biologists recognize a principle at work among plants and animals. The natural wonders called the adversity principle. Last weekend, I was by the McAtees, and they had a Christmas cactus that was just a beautiful, huge plant, and it had over 100 blossoms on it.
Wow.
It's just fantastic. And Brother Norm mentioned that this cactus didn't do well until they put it in a smaller pot, until the roots were bound. As strange as that seems, habitual well-being is not advantageous to us as a species. Amen? An existence without challenge takes its toll on virtually every living thing. When we are faced with our challenges, we are forced to draw closer to God. Amen? Only by turning to Him for divine help will we be able to overcome.
Amen.
Yes. Overcome.
Yes.
A life untested by positive and negative experiences becomes static and stagnant. Trials and suffering bring a dynamic quality to life.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Trials and suffering bring a dynamic quality to life.
Yes, amen.
Just as a drought drives the roots of a tree deeper to find water, so trials and suffering can drive us beyond superficial acceptance to dependence on God.
Hallelujah.
So life's trials do help us grow and mature.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, let's consider this fourth myth. Spiritual growth does not require a vision. Spiritual growth does not require a vision. It is a well-known fact that if you take a baby shark that normally grows to 16 foot in length and place it in an aquarium that's 5 foot long, it will never grow to its normal size, but adjust itself to remain maneuverable in that small tank. Bonsai trees that are placed in little pots cannot achieve their full size until they're planted in the ground. If they're never replanted, they remain stunted. In all life, growth is in proportion to its environment. For us, that translates to our faith and vision. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraints. You don't behave right. And in Proverbs 23, the first part of verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Unless we believe that we can grow spiritually, and more importantly, believe that we can do great things for God, we won't ever achieve the caliber of growth we really desire.
True.
May God help us see that we can be like Elijah, Paul, Peter, Deborah, and Esther. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Amen? John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father.
Hallelujah.
You can grow, folks.
Yes, Lord.
You can grow. You can mature in your faith, believing God for supernatural things. I believe God wants us to think big, plan big, believe big, and accomplish big. Amen?
Amen.
You can do great things. You can do great things because you serve a big, big God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The fifth and final myth for today is that spiritual growth is only achieved by self-improvement. Spiritual growth is only achieved by self-improvement. Brothers and sisters, it's only through a relationship with Jesus that we experience true growth.
Amen.
Why was it that as people spent time with Jesus, they were transformed? Consider Stephen, the first martyr of the early church. He's described in Acts 6:15, "And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." And what did Acts 4:13 say about the apostles? "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus."
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Growing in grace is not a matter of you working on yourself to become a better, more educated, more accomplished person. Growing in grace is denying yourself and allowing Jesus to live his life in and through you.
Amen.
Amen. Growing in grace is not learning 10 steps to spirituality or simply mastering certain principles. Too often, we have approached the Christian life as a subject to be learned rather than a life to be lived. I want to repeat that. Too often, we have approached the Christian life as a subject to be learned rather than a life to be lived. You can't grow in grace in a classroom, through a seminar, or during a quiet time, as good as those things may be. You can only grow in Jesus when you listen and walk with him in obedience every day. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We can only mature and produce fruit when we are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life isn't merely hard, it's impossible.
Yep.
Consequently, only by the life of Christ resident in us through the Holy Spirit are we equipped to drive out the sin of the world. Once implanted, the nature of Christ begins to work irresistibly like yeast until its influence spreads through the whole batch.
Yay!
Amen?
Yes.
And by the way, you do not belong to him today because of chance or accident or a stroke of fate. You are his because he never gave up his search until he found you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. In Luke 15, God tells how he searched for us as a lost sheep, a lost son, and a lost coin. You are valuable to him, and he loves you.
Amen.
Once a farmer purchased squash seeds for his farm and accidentally dropped one on the ground. In a few feet, another seed of a different type fell to the earth. About a week later, the squash seed began to grow. The second seed didn't. After 2 weeks, the squash sprouted leaves. The second seed had none. After 7 weeks, the squash grew fruit, and in 4 more weeks, reached the end of its life, bearing much fruit. Then the other seed finally began to slowly grow. Many years later, the squash was all but forgotten, but the other tiny seed, an acorn, had grown into a mighty oak tree.
Hallelujah.
Many people want to be mature in their faith quickly, like the squash. But God knows that steady and consistent growth is necessary to produce something much greater, a faith that will endure forever.
Yes.
Mark Twain once said this, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines. Sail away from safe harbor. Catch the trade wind in your sails. Explore, dream, discover.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's see how many of you want to grow in Jesus. Raise your hands up high. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. I want you to say this with me. More like you, Jesus.
More like you, Jesus.
Do it again. More like you, Jesus.
More like you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing another chorus. Actually, this is a couple of choruses put together. I don't know how many of you know this first one. You know the second one for sure. But the first one goes, we shall see Jesus just as they saw him. There is no greater promise than this. When he returns in power and glory, we shall see Jesus just as he is. Do it again. We shall see Jesus just as they saw him. There is no greater promise than this. When he returns in power and glory, we shall see Jesus just as he is. And then the other chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by his hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, implant those words today. Plant that in our hearts, Lord. You ask us to become more like you, Jesus. And that only comes from walking with you, talking with you, reading your word, stepping out in faith, in every situation, letting you lead us. Let this church be full of earthbound Jesus's.
Hallelujah.
Let us resemble you so much that people will see the difference. Hallelujah. More of you, Lord. More of you. Less of us. More of you, less of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grow us into great men and women of faith, Lord. And Lord, let us go forward. Let us take steps of faith. Giant leaps for you, Lord. Let us encourage each other to do what the Lord put on our hearts. To be obedient to your Spirit. Let us hear your voice, Lord. Maybe we need to be quiet in order to hear it. But we want to hear it, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. I've known people that you spoke audibly to, Lord. But most people don't hear it that way. They hear it through a friend's words or the Word of God or that small voice inside of us. But speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. We want to be more like you in all that we do. As we start this year, Lord God, put in our hearts a determination to grow. And put in our hearts to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. I love you.